Spiritual discernment, understanding the times. It's interesting. The old analogy is if you place a frog or any other cold-blooded animal in a pan of water there, that frog's got to get in that pan for that illustration to work, but that's the thing. The urban legend is you put a frog in a pan of water and you just gradually heat it up. Because he's cold-blooded, his blood temperature goes up with him. He won't feel the hot or the cold per se. And he gets warm and comfortable in there, and he keeps staying there until everything's boiling away, and he's boiled away. Maybe that's part of the picture between us and our country today. Think of the changes that have happened in society, immorality, that have taken place last 10, 20, 30, even 40 or 50 years. Things have changed. And yet, the constant is, as we see there on the screen there in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't know about you. I don't think that's changed. We may have changed, but that doesn't change. And that's a key for each and every one of us. We need to think about that for just a moment. Okay, there it goes. We need spiritual discernment, practical wisdom to see what's happening and how we need to live. Understanding the times. First and foremost, we need examples that show the need for discernment. Discernment means to practice judgment, to show insight. And this is what we're going to talk about today with this. First, positive examples. The sons of Issachar, there in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the advisors of Ahasuerus, he was the king that, of course, Esther wed, understood the times there in Esther 1:13. It's sort of interesting there, those two words, there are different words in each one of those references for the word understand. But the idea is we have to have insight, we have to have knowledge, we have to know what's going on. And isn't that what was in the scripture reading there? Jesus said, hey, look, you don't need Jim Cantore and the Weather Channel app to figure out what's going on. Matter of fact, it goes along with the old adage, red skies in morning, sailor take warning, red skies at night, sailor delight. We know that. We don't need Jim Cantore. We don't need the Weather Channel app to do that. We don't need Eyewitness News and AccuWeather to find out those things. It's just practical. You want to find out whether it's rainy or not, just stick your hand outside the window. Is it wet? Okay, it's raining. But Jesus made practical application to that. And this is part of the examples that we need to see here. Daniel and his friends, by the way, exercised wisdom. If we had time, we'd go into detail on this. But remember, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah. Excuse me, the other guys. I got the names mixed up there. Those are his Hebrew names. But Daniel and his friends exercised wisdom, didn't they? They came in there, and the thing was that they were told by the king's butler, hey, you need to eat this food here. And of course, being good Hebrew boys, they would have had to basically violate their dietary restrictions. But they said, look, let's propose something. You give us just vegetables and water. I don't like that diet, do you? Just vegetables and water. Maybe Brussels sprouts, you know, but you don't spare the butter, right? And broccoli with cheese sauce, right? No. No, vegetables and water. You try us out on that for a while and then see what happens. And of course, the king's butler went along with the thing, but he could only go along with it so far because if they didn't look up to shape, he'd be forfeit of his life. But they did it, and they looked even better than anybody else. And they were smarter than anybody else. Why? Probably they had discernment. They wanted to follow God. But Daniel and his friends exercised wisdom. They showed some discernment. Look, they made an appeal. They said, look, let's run an experiment. Try this for a couple weeks, and if it doesn't work, we'll go back to what you're talking about. And it worked. They didn't say, we're going on a hunger strike. We're not eating the king's food. We're not doing anything like this. And tough on you. Hold for a second. They showed a little bit of discernment there, didn't they? We have some positive examples for all this. Now notice the examples of Paul very quickly today. There in Acts 16, 35 through 40, when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. Guess where Paul and Silas were? They had been imprisoned at Philippi there. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. What had happened the night before? We know what happened. Yeah. Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned. They not only were imprisoned, they were beaten. But Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And they're just saying, well, you guys just get out of prison. It's like, now hold it for a second, okay? If somebody came in here and cuffed me and Mirandized me in front of all you and took me out of here, what would you think? Wow, that guy's a dirty, low-down... No, it's like, no! You think, hey, something's wrong with this dude. He's done something wrong. He's a criminal. And Paul says, hold it for a second. They've beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out. And guess what he made them do? The magistrates came and took him out of prison in front of everybody. What happened? It's to show them, and this is one of the key ideas in the book of Acts, is that Christianity was not a bunch of harebrained rebels trying to overthrow everything. They were honest people trying to obey God. But Paul showed some discernment there. He basically stood on his rights as a Roman citizen, and he hadn't done anything wrong, except cast a demon out of a young lady. But we have examples of Paul there. Notice there's another example there in Acts 23, 1 through 5. This is Paul there, and he's being tried, and the Jews are all around him there. There in Jerusalem, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, this is the Sanhedrin, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. The high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law. And do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. We ought to remember that last section there. Boy, I don't know about you. I'm getting sick of the ads, aren't you, on TV? Oh, boy, oh, boy. We're saying, well, how come Paul didn't know who the high priest was? Well, the thing is, it was like a tennis match, okay? You hit the ball, and whose side of the court it's on, okay? Sampras got it. No, Nadal has it. No, Sampras has it. That was how it was with the high priesthood, is between Annas and Caiaphas, between father-in-law and son-in-law. Bing, 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 bing. And he didn't know. But Annas, they're saying to him, it's like, hey, strike this guy. Paul's saying, all I'm doing, I'm trying to tell you what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching is sincere. And he said, nail him. And he, whoa, you whitewashed sepulcher. It's like that. You pink outhouse you, or whatever it is. It's like, that was nasty. Like, hold it for a second, okay? But Paul was bold enough to stand for what's right. But he was humble enough to be corrected. Think about that. He was bold enough to stand for what was right, but humble enough to be corrected, all in the matter of moments. That shows discernment for me, doesn't it to you? Final example before we leave this first part. Again, this is later on in the book of Acts there. He's being tried. And this is right on the steps of the Antonia there. He had actually been arrested, and he is under Roman custody right now. Listen to this. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm being judged." And of course, Luke's going to explain that this caused a big, big, big uproar. A big uproar. You go into some places in Alabama, and you say, "I'm from Auburn, and the Tigers are the best team in the country." Guess what's going to happen? It's like, if there's people wearing red in there, they're probably also having the same color on their face, right? I mean, how many are Penn State fans? How many have been Penn State fans since last night? No. Okay, I mean, that's great. It's great following your football team. But here you have religion. You got Pharisees, you got Sadducees. And the point that Paul was trying to make was, he actually showed some discernment, say, "Hey, I'm going to raise a ruckus intentionally because these guys are going to try to lynch me." He showed some discernment and said, "Hey, I'm putting this out. I'm a Pharisee. You guys are trying to accuse me or anything. Let me tell you something, okay? I not only believe in the resurrection of the dead, but I'm teaching somebody that actually proved the resurrection of the dead." And guess what? The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in that stuff. Now, the thing is, the Romans had to come in and grab Paul. Otherwise, they would have torn him to pieces. But how does this show discernment? Well, think about that. Paul knew that these people needed to grapple with this thing about the resurrection. The Pharisees needed to understand that Jesus was the one that proved it. They didn't like him, though, did they? The Sadducees, they didn't believe much in anything. Matter of fact, there, if you take a look at the thing there, it says there, the Sadducees say there's no resurrection, no angel, no spirit. Wow. They're missing it coming and going. Paul said, "Look, okay, you need to be confronted with the fact that you don't even agree among yourselves over this stuff, and you're sitting here and you're going to try me for stuff you don't even agree on." I wish somebody did that to our political parties today and say, "You guys don't even agree on the stuff that you're throwing at the other person." Isn't that interesting? But that shows discernment. These are important things. What about the Bereans? It says they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and, here's the key, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. By all means, I'm not against handheld devices, but I was preaching one time over in Pottstown in a lectureship. And a dear sister in Christ came up to me, and she had written down a phrase that I'd used and said, "I fact-checked this thing. Where in the world did that quote come from?" See, there's somebody's fact-checking for me right now, okay? I said to her, "I honestly don't know. It's probably from me." And she says, "Yeah, You said that, huh?" I said, "Yeah, I usually quote myself quite frequently when I preach." She thought I'd borrowed that phrase from somebody. It was just musings from my aimless mind, that's all. But it's like, she was fact-checking me. I said, "That's neat. People want to find out what's true. These Bereans are saying, hey, look, I'm not just listening to you guys. You know, I'm from New Jersey when I say you guys, right? It's yous guys over there. It's like, hold it for a second. We want to find out what's true. So they're preaching, they're teaching, they're saying, okay, let's look back in the Old Testament they're fact-checking off of. All these people were concerned about the truth. Look at all the good examples that we have with that. Now, we also have negative examples. Rehoboam, remember I talked about him last time? I'm falling apart here, by the way, Andrew. There we go. When in doubt, click it out, right? Rehoboam, the son of Solomon there, he divided Israel into Israel and Judah and made it tough for us to follow that in the Bible, didn't he? Because Israel sometimes means the 12 tribes, but after Rehoboam got through with them, it's just the 10 northern tribes. Why did he do that? He refused to listen there in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, to the wise counsel of Solomon's cabinet, his elders, and listen to his own buddies. He raised taxes. You know, back then, if you were a king, you could raise taxes, and you didn't even have to put ads on the TV for that. My opponent says no. Rehoboam did not show discretion. The prodigal, what did he want? Give it to me now. Can you imagine when Jesus said that back there in Luke, the 15th chapter, jaws would drop. Jaws would drop. You want somebody to probate your will before you die? Are you kidding me? That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Even today. And people would be, huh? They would be jaw droppers. But here's the negative. Why? When you are selfish and you want your own way, the last thing you think about is what the impact will be on others. Think about that. Those are negative. So we have positive and negative examples of discretion. Well, why are these important? Well, when we look at them, we need to have encouragement to seek discernment. What's the issue? What we have going here? It's mandated by Scripture. Look at the quotes there. Get wisdom, get understanding. Okay. By the way, the word understanding there could accurately be talked about from the concept of insight. It could also mean discretion. What does discretion really mean? Here's an interesting thing, okay? What did Jesus call somebody who wasn't practicing what they were preaching? Hypocrites. Now, there's an interesting thing with that word. It never got translated. It was transliterated. Hypocrite. Hypocrites. It almost sounds the same, just changed a couple letter sounds around. That hupo means above, krite, judgment. That's where you get the word critic from. Okay? More fact-checking. Okay? The thing about this is, that it's interesting. Well, you say, why are you making this point, Bill? Well, there's another word, anakrite, which means going above judgment. That's what the word discernment is. Why is it above judgment? It's like, hold it for a second. You have to have a discerning spirit. You have to take a look at right and wrong and be willing to bump it up a step. And say, okay, I need to do some thinking on this before I do some saying or some acting. That's discernment. Get wisdom, get understanding. Paul tells Timothy, exercise yourself towards godliness. Practice what you preach, brother. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good to those at Thessalonica. That's an idea that's mandated by Scripture. Now, note what Paul was praying for also in Colossians 1:9. Says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And here's the key. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. The big problem that I have in living a Christian life, and I bet you have the same problem, is not just knowing what God said we need to do, but putting it into practice. The old moniker, practice what you preach. Now, people that aren't Christians probably put that in our face more times than not, right? But the idea there is, okay, he is praying for them. Look, you know his will, and you practice it. You have some spiritual understanding. What does that mean? There is a principle and a purpose for everything that God has given us in this word. If we understand that, if we understand why God wants us to speak the truth in love, why God wants us to show mercy, why God wants us to be bold and at the same time humble like we saw in Paul, these are important things. Let's keep rolling on this because time's short. Well, it's not only that, not only mandated by Scripture, it's motivated by the life we need to live. Our walk is determined by our faith and by our obedience. In Colossians 2, verse 6, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you received him, walk in him. Same idea. If we had more time, we go into Galatians there. In the book of Galatians, it talks about that over and over again there in chapters 4, 5, and 6. The idea is practice what you preach. So it's not only mandated by Scripture, it's motivated by the life that we need to live. Okay, now our maturity and love actually are determined by discernment. There in Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, listen to this, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's say I had an Olympic barbell set here. Three plates, two collars, three 45-pound plates and two collars on an Olympic bar. 325 pounds. Okay. I say, okay, who can deadlift that? Deadlifting means your arms locked and you bring it up and lock your back. If there's anything left after you lock it out. Now, who could do that? I couldn't do that because my wife would kill me if I went to the bar. Like, oh, don't lift that bell. Who's the only person you think could lift that? Somebody had been training to lift it, right? That makes sense. Okay, well, it's interesting. We watched a competition the other night. They have some of these little, I say little girls, but I mean, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, they go to pick something up and you see shoulder definition. And women, okay, it's like, wow, how'd they do that? They must have trained for it. Uh-oh, there it is. Who by reason of what? Use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hey, guess what you're going to do this week? What I need to do this week? I go out and practice looking at life, okay? What's good? What's evil? A lot of people in this world don't even care what's good and evil anymore. Think about that. And that's a problem. But we need to do that. Let's keep reading along here. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually, here's our word, discerned. I was up in New Hampshire. Well, I was preaching up in Vermont, and I went to a school in New Hampshire. Come to find out they let you attend there as a grad student for free. I was thinking about going to the Bible department, and guess what their catalog had on the Bible? New Testament is literature. Old Testament is literature. Looking at Jesus as literature. Hold it! You're going the wrong way. It's not just good literature. It is God's word. I didn't want to attend the Bible department for that reason. I wound up going over in the language department. But it's like, I don't want to study the Bible as literature. I want to study this thing as God's word. Why? It's spiritually discerned. Philippians 1:9, this I pray, your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in what? There's the word, discernment. Yes, these things are important to all of us. So there's the things we need to know. Finally, the elements that are needed to show discernment. Here's how we practice it very quickly for you. Number one, our thinking needs to be based on spiritual truth. Let's look at this together. If then you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is seen, sitting at the right hand of God. Key, set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, look what it says there, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We took a look at that last week, but I'm coming back to it again. Brethren, here's the key idea. We have to think different. And when we think different, there are things we got to get rid of, and there's things we got to keep. We're contemplating moving right now. And guess what? We've been where we've been for 8 years. We've accumulated too much stuff. Anybody in here like stuff? We got stuff for you. Matter of fact, I'll bring some bags of stuff if you want stuff. Dennis is back there shaking his head, yeah. He already had the mandate from Mary, right? Yeah, no stuff, okay? The thing about this is, you got to get rid of this stuff. That's the key. That's what it's talking about there. So we need that. We need to focus on the right things. Judgment or discernment needs to be rightly practiced. Look at what Jesus said to his disciples, okay? There in Matthew, the 7th chapter, we don't have time to read through this or expound this to any great length, but look at what's emphasized there. He's talking about false teachers. He says, you know them by their fruits. What does that mean? Somebody has false teaching, has stuff growing off his arms, right? And you go, okay, what is that stuff, you know? And no, that's not what's saying. Fruits means where is what they're teaching or practicing leading. Where is it going to lead? Boy, we need to practice some discernment about what's going on in our country right now. Where is this stuff leading us? Be careful. Be careful. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Absolutely, there in Matthew 7. Later on in Matthew 12, talking to the disciples, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Here the Pharisees are saying, hey, look, you know, he raised that guy by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus said, hold it for a second. Okay, if I do that, you don't have any problems with your people here doing great and wonderful things, but you got a problem with me doing that. Then he says, guess what? It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. And you be careful about what comes out. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them. That's talking about discernment. Number two, evil doesn't have to look bad to be good. Think about that. And that's a dangerous thing, isn't it? A week from Monday, your neighborhood is going to be inhabited by strange creatures. No, I'm not coming to your neighborhood, by the way. All right? You know what it is, Halloween. And I know a lot of these, Night of the Living Dead, it's like, we got so many zombies that come to our house, I don't know what it's like, why don't you just die? Don't live and die. Die to live, no. Well, it used to be kids would dress up like the devil. Guess what? Devil doesn't look like that. He's probably got a three-piece suit that's Armani. He's got alligator shoes. I mean, he's looking pretty good. If Satan came to earth, he'd look better than anybody. He'd talk slicker than anybody. He'd sound smarter than anybody. And look at what it says there in our reference. Excuse me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into a what? An angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be, I'll give an extra space there for emphasis, to their works. Brethren, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to be very discerning, aren't we? Go to the voting booth. Discernment. Next couple of weeks, we're going to go out in the world. Be careful what you hook yourself into, okay? Practice some discernment. That's where I'm coming to in all this. Final point here, living for the hereafter, not for the here and now. Question, are you fighting the good fight of faith? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You pray for me. I'm going through some tough times right now. I saw a picture the other night on TV about this guy, a former Black Ops guy, and he was working at Home Depot. Imagine how a Black Ops guy at Home Depot. I wouldn't like to rile him up about which aisle was which. And he got messed up with helping this young lady, and she was involved with the Russian mob, and boy, he just cleans everybody's bell. And I start thinking about that. Boy, there's some people I'd like to clean their bell. All of a sudden it hit me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God, be careful what you think about, don't you? You, me, everyone. We need discernment. We need discernment. And that brings us to the end of the lesson. What is our shibboleth? What do you mean shibboleth? Okay, the Gileadites were there. This is interesting in Judges, the 12th chapter there. And the Ephraimites were raising a ruckus because they didn't get called in to help on something, and they're battling each other, and to try to catch the Ephraimites that would cause even more serious problems, they just had a thing. It's about shibboleth. Or for me, when I came from New Jersey, how do you pronounce W-A-T-E-R? No, not New Jersey. Water. It's water. Well, somebody says, pronounce water for me. Water. It's like, oh, you're done. They couldn't say shibboleth. They said sibboleth. They couldn't get that schwa sound. That's what it is in the original. The letter there is schwa. It's a vocal schwa, which means it has an H sound. So it's sibboleth. Sibboleth. No, shibboleth. That's how they got nailed. Well, what's our byword? What's our password? We need to follow Christ. To conclude this whole thing, we need to be thinking or discerning. We're in perilous times right now. They've come, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. We're living in them right now. I believe we may be at the end of the last days. Oh, you're like gloom and doom, are you? It's like, no, but that's just, I mean, it talked about the last days, and that concept is, there's many antichrists. They have come. They're here. That's what John talks about there in 1 John, the 4th and the 5th chapter. So the issue is, it's probably going to get rougher, but we need to remember what David said in Psalm 31:15. My times are in your hands. Let's pray. Father, help us to realize that you take care of us, but help us to realize we need to think. Help us to be discerning this week. Help us to speak the truth in love, to follow the example of Paul, to definitely stay away from Rehoboam and what the prodigal wanted to do, but to follow you, especially Jesus. Let us hold Jesus forth as our example to live for you as we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be here today. If you're having spiritual struggles, there's an answer for that. Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you need prayers, we'll pray for you. If you're here today and you understand that Christ is the answer for your life, then believe in him. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as Lord and be baptized into Christ. That's what the Bible says. Well, we've saved this time for those that need help. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Think about that as we stand and sing.